views and opinions expressed on the following podcast are those of the persons appearing on the program and not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of the Center for ADHD Awareness Canada. Welcome to another edition of Club ADHD, the podcast. This is your cordial and ADHD host, Russ LeBlanc, saying welcome, welcome. Did I say welcome? The answer is yes. And do I sound a little funny? Well, you might say, I don't know. Well, I think I do because I feel a little off. A lot off. Just coming off of, I don't know what it is, a flu. And these days you can't say that with people shuddering. Or that kind of morphed into a cold and now it's congestion and oh. So I'm going to try to keep it brief. That's what I said initially when, you know, I was going to do this. But things in our lives keep happening, and they're worth mentioning. And before I do that, I want to again welcome you and thank you for tuning in to another edition of this podcast. Club ADHD, the podcast, is part of a three-prong approach. We've got the podcast, the Facebook page, and the Twitter account. Visit clubadhd.ca for links. And a special thank you going out to the folks at CADAC, the Center for ADHD Awareness Canada, for offering their assistance in presenting this. And we urge you to go to their website and check out what they've got going on. They've got some seminars happening in various parts of the country. What country? Canada, of course. And you can find all the information on their website, as well as lots of information on ADHD and how to become an advocate. And you don't have to be in Canada to take advantage of that information. Here's the address, the web address, cadac.ca. That's CADDAC.ca. Now, I'm going to get you up to speed what's going on. I'm not going to go too far in depth because I don't know how long my voice will hold out. But I had a plan to get into this edition of the podcast with some information. And then all of a sudden, well, I saw something else happening and then just something recently happened. Of course, I told you about my little bout with whatever it is, flu, cold, whatever. Okay, that's minor. I'm going to refer to our Facebook page. And we had a nice discussion going on about certain things, and it morphed into how we were perceived as children. And one comment there just floored me. That one teacher, many years ago, I don't know how long ago, but I have the feeling it was what they call back in the day, referred to one of our members when she was just a kid, as a child of Satan, and said that to her parents. Now, do the math on that, huh? And that she would not teach a child of Satan. In all my years of being involved with ADHD, I've never heard anything or seen anything like that. That's just insanity. And they landed on their feet, they meaning the family and the child. I don't know if the teacher was ever reprimanded. I have the feeling not, but I'm just blown away with that. I'd like to talk about that, but no. I want to talk about something else that just happened about an hour ago or so. No matter how hard we struggle in life, and I'm sure, fellow ADHDers, you might say to yourself, yeah, I'm struggling or I have struggled. I'm saying it. And I say this because an hour ago, my daughter found out that the store that she manages, she looks after a store involving digital communications, you know, all that, smartphones and stuff, for a big outfit. It was robbed at gunpoint tonight. Now, I say lucky because, one, she wasn't there, and two, no one was injured that I know of. I'm pretty sure. Here's the other part. Second time in 4 weeks. It's not in a shady part of town. It's, you know, something's going on. I think it might be an offshore thing because it's happening all across Toronto. And that's where we're broadcasting from, just outside of Toronto, that people are going in and you know, organized people, and just tying these people up with zip ties, the people meaning the staff, and stealing the phones and probably shipping them offshore. So it all puts it into perspective that, yes, we all have our problems, but there are little things that we can be grateful for. That's all I'll say about that. Now, let's get back to the show. We've got a good episode here for you. We've got a very interesting guest coming up in our interview portion of the podcast. And you know what? Jason is back. Jason Froetz, our resident ADHD coach with TNT Tips and Tricks. Yes, he's been away for a few weeks, but he is back. So without further ado, let's get to the tips and tricks on this edition of Club ADHD, the podcast. And now, presenting the one, the only, TNT. Otherwise known as Tips and Tricks. Featuring Club ADHD's ADHD coach, Jason Froetz. All right, Jason. I know a lot of us can identify with this, especially me. You've got something for us pertaining to when we avoid a task, what we should be doing. We're wasting time. I waste time. Get distracted. Procrastinate. Hop on YouTube. Do this and that. And all of a sudden, the task isn't completed in time. It's a real problem. You've got something for us. Now, what is it? Something to do with self-awareness of avoidance? Is that what you call it?
Yeah, that's right, Russ. You know, I mean, that's a great point. I think that, we all know that we avoid things as ADHDers. We tend to avoid certain things like the plague. And it really depends on what the task is and how that relates to the person. You know, everybody's different. But the first step, I guess, you know, in attempting to answer your question, I think the first step that I take with a client, Russ, is it's about self-awareness of avoidance, of when they're avoiding something, of what they're avoiding. And of course, we know what the results are if we do avoid something. You know, we waste time, we procrastinate, we do things last minute, we don't perform at our best. So ideally, if we could figure out, you know, when am I avoiding a task? What kind of task am I avoiding? Or what do I typically avoid? That's usually the first step in terms of tackling a task and not avoiding things going forward.
So what do? You figure out, well, if I'm no good in the afternoon, I'll do these types of tasks in the morning. Is that something to consider?
You know, it could be. It could be. You know, one of the questions I ask clients often is, you know, when do you focus best? You know, when don't you avoid things? And often they've never been asked that question. I'm like, actually, the morning's usually pretty good. Or I suck in the morning. I really don't like doing anything in the morning, even if stuff I like to do. So, yeah, that's a great point. Asking yourself, okay, when do I like to do things? When don't I? Also, noticing your own behavior. So kind of like we all know things that we should be doing. You know, we should be doing our taxes. You know, we should be doing the laundry. But there could be some things related to your work, or it could be domestic stuff. And that's a should. And so whenever you hear yourself say, gosh, I really should be doing this, then that's a sign that, maybe I'm avoiding something. Mm. So it's kind of noticing your own tells, you know, like if you're playing poker, you know, I'm a horrible poker player, to be honest, but noticing somebody else's tells, like, what do? Do they scratch their eye? You know, they scratch their forehead, or do they look a certain way? Well, what do you do? You know, look at yourself. What do you think you do when you're avoiding something? And sometimes it's not even saying should. A lot of us will, pardon the expression, should all over ourselves.
But the thing is, avoid that BS. I mean, you're BSing yourself. I know when I procrastinate, I love going on YouTube, and there's so much stuff on there. I'll say, okay, I'm going to do this. Oh, look, I got time. I'll bump it ahead, and I'm just going to check out this video. But what you're saying and what I should be saying to myself is, okay, never mind about should, start doing.
Yeah, you know what? And I think you nailed it. You know, what are the distractors that I go to? What are my go-to? Where's my escape hatch? So some people, YouTube. Other people, Xbox.
So you put a mental label on it in your mind. Distraction. For me, YouTube, distraction.
It's kind of like just tag it in the moment so that you become more aware of when it actually happens. So it's like, okay, what am I doing? I should be doing this. Oh, okay, there's the should. And look at what you're doing. Oh, actually, I'm watching YouTube. Yeah. Okay, so that's not what I'm supposed to be doing. So I'm going to tag that, you know, as avoidance. So, okay, that's one of my things that I do. So then even write it down. You make it memorable.
Yeah, interesting.
Yeah.
Because sometimes we really know what we should be doing, but as we just BS ourselves and talk ourselves out of it.
Yeah. And you know what? You're right. We do BS ourselves a lot, you know, and we got to be honest with ourselves. What am I really supposed to be doing right now? And what am I doing instead? Okay. And, you know, the buck stops there. You know, that's another segment, you know, for tips and tricks. But at least the first step is really becoming aware of it. So maybe just try to be more self-aware of when you're actually avoiding something, and notice the things that you typically do and write them down. And you'd be surprised that you probably do the same things often, you know, the same go-to distractors, right? And then the next step is really, okay, well, how do I shift to what I should be doing instead of doing what I shouldn't be?
So there you have it, another solid tip. Thanks a lot, Jason.
My pleasure as always, Russ. I hope it helps.
Up next, a man who goes by the name of Tim, and we'll just keep it at that. Tim is an adult with ADHD. He has a rather unique perspective when it comes to his ADHD and an interesting story on how it all came about as far as his being diagnosed. Plus, he told us how he lost weight as a result of the flu and his hyperfocus, his ADHD hyperfocus. We started off the interview with the question, Tim, how old were you when you were diagnosed with ADHD?
I was diagnosed when I was 42. Right now, I'm 46.
So what led up to the diagnosis?
Well, at the time, I was living in the U.S. before I was diagnosed. And my life wasn't good. It was depressing. I was in a big depression, and I couldn't figure out a way out how to get out of it. It seems everywhere I turned, things were going wrong. And that included my marriage. I was married to my wife for 8 years, and that dissolved. And my job situation was dire. I couldn't hold down a job. I was good at what I did, but for some reason, I just couldn't connect with the people I worked with, or something would come up. I was working with the wrong people, I thought, at the time. And I was looking at everybody else. Why am I connecting with these wrong people? These people who, you know, don't have my best interest in mind, I thought at the time. And it just wallowed in depression. And I guess you could call it a bit of luck that as I'm there, I was talking with some of my other siblings, but all of a sudden I get a call from my older sister, much older than I am, and she lives in Canada, and we have a strong connection to Canada. My parents are Canadian, and I have a couple of siblings who live in Canada, and some cousins and family, and she talked to me, and I explained what was going on, and I just let it all out. It was something I had to do, I guess. And what really made it, I don't know, extra special or I don't know what to say, how to describe it, is that my sister is involved in mental health. She's involved in that. She in the mental health field and where she works. And she thought, well, maybe it would be a good time for me to get away and go and see her. And that's what I did get away for 2 or 3 weeks. She would talk with me, and it would be a good situation, a good time for me to get away from what was happening and to try to find out what's going on. And lo and behold, thanks to her and a few of her colleagues, it was suggested to me that, hey, I think you might have this thing called ADHD, which I thought ADD is what I knew it as. And when I thought of ADD, I thought of a kid bouncing around and, you know, giving medication or whatever, Ritalin came to mind. That seems to be very common, and the kid would calm down. And I didn't think that was me. As a youngster, it wasn't me. But lo and behold, I later learned that it's much more than that.
Tim, as you're telling that story, I'm sure a lot of people listening, I for one, am saying, yeah, Tim, you're telling my story right here. I can empathize with you 100%. Now, when that ADHD label came around, how did you handle it?
Well, it was a bit of a tough sell initially because, again, of what I thought this ADD or ADHD was. But my sister had me sit down, and she called up a questionnaire on the computer that she had access to as far as the questionnaire was concerned, and it was 80 questions, I guess, or more. And with every question, it was like a light bulb that had sprung up. And finally, that this is a situation that I can identify with every question.
So after you completed that questionnaire, how did you feel? Were you excited?
Well, yeah, it was exciting. I must admit, because finally, all the time I would ask why, Yeah, and here is the answer, ADHD. Now, again, you know, when I first found out about it, you know, okay. And then all of a sudden I asked, okay, why me? Why this ADHD? The shocker was that it was me and not the other people. And that's not what I thought back when I was going through all this, that I was pointing the finger at other people, but I didn't point the finger at me. And that's where it should have been pointed.
Tim, again, I empathize. It's a real tough sell when all of a sudden you have to realize it's you. You're the one causing this. How did you handle that?
Well, once I found out about it, I had my hyperfocus, I guess, kicked in, and I just wanted to know more and more about it, even when I was staying at my sister's, which I ended up staying there for 3.5 weeks. And here's another lucky situation. A luck just came down as far as my ADHD and how to work around it, that I have a cousin who I was very close with when he was living in the U.S. as a kid, and he moved to Canada later on, and we lost touch as he grew older. And he lives about 1.5 to 2 hours away from my sister, and he found out that I was here, that I was in Canada, and he called me, and lo and behold, he happens to be in the same type of business, if you want to call it that. He does the same thing that I'm very familiar with, that my expertise when it comes to employment is concerned. He does the same thing. It's more of a repair and installation. It's kind of electrical, a little digital, and I don't want to get into it, but he was telling me that his company, well, not his company, the company he works for, which is owned by a family, they're looking for a few people. And then it hit him, maybe I should look into that, you know? And what really sparked my interest is that, unlike what I'm familiar with in the U.S., when I do that type of job, I'm working in an urban area around people, and sometimes that doesn't really hold well with me. And the more I knew about my ADHD, the more I thought, well, this isn't right. You know, maybe, you know, me around too many people, it might be a bad thing. So what really turned me on to what he was telling me is that it's a small community. However, not only do I work in the community, but most often I would work outside of the community, even in a rural, you know, in the sticks type thing. And I wouldn't be around people. And that situation would lead to something else that really got me excited as far as problem solving. Because if you're way out in the field and something goes on that you need a part, you know, ingenuity is paramount. Because a part isn't readily available, unlike you working in an urban area, that, you know, if you have the opportunity to maybe come up with a solution, a temporary solution, until you go back and get the part and bring it back out, that's great. And my line of business, it's possible to do that, you know, if you're thinking that way. And I do think that way. I look at it as a challenge. So I thought, well, this is going to work. You know, if this is indeed what's going on, I want to at least try it. So that's what I did. I went and I applied for the job. I met the people at the family, and they seemed nice enough. And my cousin vouched for me. And I ended up moving to Canada. It wasn't something that happened overnight, but it did happen. And the fact that my family is well connected here in Canada, as far as, you know, my parents being Canadian and all, it made it easier. And I'm happy to report this is where I'm at right now. And that's, you know, it happened years ago. And as far as the job is concerned, it's worked out in even my everyday life because, again, I spent the time to find out what it was in my ADHD and how can I can work with it. It was a bit of a puzzle for me, and I think I came up with a solution.
Okay. Now you've got me wondering, what was the solution?
Well, my solution was to not be as close to people as, you know, I would go all in before. Not acquaintances. This person seems nice. He's going to be my best buddy. And, you know, it would work for, you know, a few months or whatever. And then all of a sudden something would happen. An innocent thing, and wow, bam, it would blow up in my face that this person who I thought was a good friend was not a good friend. And it would happen often, which now I realize that it wasn't those people, or maybe I was attracting the wrong people, but the whole big thing was me, you know? And that was a tough pill to swallow. So I thought, I'm not going to get as close to people, you know? I fairly close with my cousin, and that's okay. But as far as everybody else, you know, I'd keep at arm's length. And I'd have close acquaintances.
Tim, that's an interesting take, but for me it sounds a little drastic. And speaking of your personal life, do you date people? Do you ever get close to them?
Well, on the personal side, yes, I date people. I don't get overly involved. I don't want to get into that situation right now. My mind's not at that point. As far as other people, I came up with, what am I going to do in my spare time? And I kind of sparked something. I saw a news item in this small little rural area about this martial arts club that was being organized. And the person who was organizing was fairly well experienced in that martial arts field. And I had dabbled in that as a younger person. And I looked into it, and man, it was a good fit. I joined, and I climbed the ladder fairly fast because, my intensity was focused on that. And it was good. It was really, it still is good. I have many good, as I call them, close acquaintances through that. And we travel, we go to tournaments and such, and, I do well. And it added a little excitement. I mean, martial arts, that field is exciting. There's the element, a little risk in there. And what really worked for me is the fact that it's regimented. And I discovered that many of us who have ADHD work better in a very regimented type of a situation. And I'm flourishing with that. And I'm able to get just release any stress and things of that nature and socialize with people. And there's a way of climbing a ladder. So there's a way to bolster my self-esteem. I have something tangible that verifies that, hey, I reached this goal. I'm going to the next goal. It worked out perfectly for me. It really did. And as far as describing my life, I'm not living the world's most perfect life. I don't know who is, but I would say out of 100, I'd score my life at about 65, which compared to where it was years ago, hovering around 0 or 5% at best, that's a long way. That's a good way to jump up.
Tim, that's an interesting way of looking at it. I don't hear that often, but hey, whatever works for you. Now, I want to change gears, and I want to go to a story that you told me when we first started talking to each other to line this up. You mentioned about weight loss, and it had something to do with your undiagnosed ADHD and the flu. How about telling us about that?
Well, yeah, that's an interesting story. This happened many, many years ago. I was in my 20s, and again, my ADHD kicked in. Again, I didn't know I had it. But I came down with the flu. It was a really bad case of the flu. It lasted, 4 weeks around that. And during that time, I wasn't eating much, and I was dropping weight. And, in the middle of it, I weighed myself, and I thought, holy, that this is amazing that I have gone under a benchmark that I never thought I would be able to do, and that was 200 pounds. Now, that might sound like a lot, but a friend of mine who's also a chiropractor, he said, well, it's obvious you're from farm stock. And I thought, oh, farm stock, what's... Oh, he said, you're broad. Your ancestors must have been laborers in the farm, in the fields, and the way that your structure is as far as the bones and such would imply that that's your background. So I can have weight on me and not look as heavy as maybe the average person. But therein comes a time that only works up to a certain amount. And, I was pudgy. I always had a problem with the weight situation. But here I am with the flu, and I'm down to under 200 pounds, and I'm thinking, this is great, but I'm starting to feel better. And I thought, I'm going to be eating more, and my weight's going to climb. How can I stop it from climbing? And I decided to talk to someone I know who was involved in working out, and he introduced me to a contraption that I got. Wasn't expensive, a regime. And I hyper-focused on that. And I also hyper-focused on doing, of all things, sit-ups. And that worked great for me. Now, my back is probably paying for it now, but back then it was great. And I was shedding the pounds off, and I was keeping them off. And I was fitting into jeans that I never thought I would ever fit in. And I was getting noticed and compliments, and that really helped me as well. But looking back, I can point that success to two things. My ADHD, that was undiagnosed, and the flu.
Hey, wait a minute, Tim. I'm getting over the flu. Maybe I can drop some pounds. Boy, that's amazing. It's a clear example of having your ADHD hyperfocus work for you. And that deserves a round of applause.
Yeah, who would know, huh? It's just one of those things.
That's great. I like that. Now let's get back to present day. You've been diagnosed, you know you have ADHD, you live in a rural area. What do you do when it comes to dealing with it? Do you talk to people? Do you have professionals you can meet with? Are you on any type of medication?
I see a psychiatrist once a month. He prescribes medication. He works the complex where my sister works. So I try to make that trip once a month. And my sister also connected me with an ADHD coach that I talk to online twice a week. So they help keep me along the straight and narrow, as it were, and sometimes we don't agree as far as my strategy, but, it takes some convincing, and we work around that. So I've come to the conclusion that I'm not telling people about my ADHD. I don't think that's going to work. And yes, I know where I work. I get along great with the people who own the company, and I've gotten to know them a little bit. And that was the fact that I got to know them instills in me that it wouldn't be wise to say that, you know, I have ADHD, because it might instill a negative in their brain. Because one time we were talking about mental health, and it was brought up that a few of the family members were of the opinion that sometimes this whole mental health thing is abused as far as labeling people with mental health issues, that it could be an excuse to get out of work or maybe to get on a pension or something. And I thought, okay, yeah, maybe there's some validity to that, but it just got in the back of my mind that, you know, I didn't want to brand me as with a mental health situation or disorder, fearing that, you know, maybe some of their observations would be, they'd connect them to me. Maybe not intentionally, but maybe subconsciously, I don't know.
Okay, I understand where you're coming from. Once burnt, twice shy. Personally, I think that you're thinking a little too negatively when it comes to the overall picture, but then again, that's just my own observation. Let's just say they find out about your ADHD, that you're talking to a psychiatrist, whatever. Wouldn't you think that they would shy away from acting negatively based on that information just to keep away from any legal issues?
Well, I'm of the opinion that, yes, laws are there to keep us in line, that's right, but to keep us in line when someone's watching, because sometimes we tend to break laws. You know, I'm not talking about these serious laws, but take, for instance, speeding. If you have a high-performance car, you find yourself driving one for whatever reason. You might have bought it, or maybe someone lent it to you, or rented it, or whatever. It's late in the evening, and you're on a fairly straight piece of road, and there aren't any cars around. And there's that temptation, you're going to step on the accelerator. Yeah, you're breaking the law, technically, not hurting anyone, right? So I'm thinking that, yeah, you can bring up the legal aspect. I don't want to create a legal situation. Just because there's a law doesn't mean it's going to conquer things, that it's going to solve things, because it's just not out in the open. Not to say that this family would do anything under the carpet or anything, but again, that label might spark other things, that they might see something that would make them wonder, why is he doing this? Is it because of the mental situation?
Again, I get it. I don't necessarily agree with you, but I get it. Different strokes.
Things are working okay. Why rock the boat? Because I'm used to rocking the boat. I rocked the boat and fell overboard and almost drowned. And that wasn't very pleasant. So right now, I'm a passenger on the boat. I'm not riding first class. I'm riding coach, but at least I'm sitting there and getting by.
Tim, I can't argue with that. You got a great way of putting things into perspective. And you've got a rather unique way of looking at things. But if it works for you, as I said before, hey, there you go. Let's switch things around now. If you had a chance to speak to fellow ADHDers, here's a clue, you do have a chance to do just that. What advice would you offer them?
Well, I would tell people that if you know that you've got a problem, be careful how you label yourself. Yeah, I was lucky. I was real lucky. And there are people, I'm sure, saying, well, I don't have a sister like you have, or a cousin or whatever. I have nobody. The thing is that I've read up on some situations, and if you don't get out there and make connections, you don't have to be best of friends with people, but maybe if you don't have a job, maybe volunteer or do something that people will notice your abilities, you can create opportunity. But if you're just going to sit there and say, okay, my life stinks, not a lot's going to happen. you know, a small amount of people win the lottery. So you got to go out and make it happen as best you can. And just don't give up the fight is what I would say.
Tim, on that note, thank you for taking the time out to speak with us. Thank you for your observations. And who knows, maybe you've inspired a few people. Thank you once again, Tim.
Well, thank you very much.
Well, that was interesting. I enjoyed that. That, ladies and gentlemen, was Tim from Parts Unknown. He wants to be off the radar. All I can say is he resides in the western portion of Canada. That's about as direct as I can make it. And I'm fine with that. And he had some different takes when it came to his own personal ADHD strategies. Whatever works, right? He also told me that he has listened to all of the Club ADHD podcasts, and he's picked up some tips and strategies. I thought a few things sounded familiar. Maybe we influenced good old Tim. Who knows? I want to thank him for taking the time to speak to us. I want to thank you, the listeners, for taking the time to listen in and to participate in the other aspects of Club ADHD, the Facebook page and the Twitter account. Go to clubadhd.ca for the links. I want to thank the Center for ADHD Awareness Canada, CADAC, for their involvement, for their willingness to present Club ADHD. Round of applause there. And last but not least, a special thank you going out to our Club ADHD ADHD coach, Jason Froats, for participating in yet another Tips and Tricks. And I just want to wrap things up. And oh, before I do, this is the day after I did the introduction. I recorded that last night. In case you're wondering, my daughter and the store that she runs, everyone's fine. No one was injured. They just walked out with some items, expensive items, but no one got hurt. And these things can happen just about anywhere these days, huh? Doesn't have to be, but it is. Just like our ADHD. We can wish it away, but it's not going to work. It is what it is. It's a part of us. We just have to decide how are we going to work with it or around it. Have it work for us. Maybe lose some pounds like Tim. You never know. That's it. As we wrap things up, this is your cordial and ADHD host, Russ LeBlanc, inviting you to be on the lookout for another podcast real soon because we're in catch-up mode. I think if all things are going according as planned, we will have another podcast uploaded in about 4 or 5 days' time. Plus, later in the month of February 2020, we've got a very special guest, and I'm sure it will be uplifting. It's like, yeah, finally. What am I talking about? Well, that is what we call a tease. Keep listening for more information. Again, this is your cordial and ADHD host, Russ LeBlanc, wishing you and yours a great day and reminding you that whenever you can, wherever you can, say it loud, say it proud. ADHD is real. Now I gotta go find some decongestant. Oh, this darn cold or flu or whatever. Bye for now.